Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at the direct blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are in the iTunes search engine where you are looking up Warman Kickfighting Show. Just enter that into the iTunes search engine and my show pops right up. You can find me on Twitter for the Twitter followers at Twitter.com/StephenTheWarman, one word. So, first of all, I want to apologize to everybody. I have been crazy busy. I'm in the process of opening up my own gym. My fighter, Johnny Hendricks, we lost the other day to a very great competitor, great athlete, and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, who executed his game plan perfectly. Always credit due to the one who wins. I'm not one of those guys that's like hates the world when things don't go our way. That's not how this sport works. We went out there. We hoped to execute. He was able to, and we didn't get the W that night. Moving forward, I'm opening my own gym, which is what's taking up a good majority of my time, and I'm excited about the athletes and the people who I work with and just having my own kind of piece of the sport outside of what I do in kickboxing communities and so on. As for the podcast, I had been trying to do my usual year-in-review shows, and I did one on the men's, and I did one on Stadium Muay Thai, and I didn't get the women's. So I'm definitely going to make sure I take the time and get an episode that focuses on the women and all the excellent athletes that they have. I want to do my best to do this in a way so that if you don't follow women's Muay Thai kickboxing at all, it'll be set to you in such a way where you're like, okay, I can remember those names, or I can remember a few of those names. I just want to make the world smaller for you by just kind of dividing the women into three weight classes and then kind of giving you a breakdown of who I'm talking about, where to look for them, and so on. Also, I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about Kun Loon and a little bit about Lion Fight on the very end of it. So I'll jump right into it. Got a lot to talk about. First of all, I break the women down in several categories, but the easiest way to do it for making it for a wider range of audience is just to go from the smallest of women to the most competitive athletic weight for women. And then what I'd say is the exceptional women who are kind of like a little bit stronger, a little bit bigger physically that you could see on maybe a Lion Fight down the road or something like that. So go ahead and jump right into it. First of all, I'm going to do 48 kgs. 252. And the reason why I focus on that is because in Thailand and Japan, there are a lot of women that are around that size. Plus, a lot of girls are starting to start so young that when they start competing internationally, they start competing at the, I guess, their first time competing with, you know, headgear off and you know, just, you know, full rules Muay Thai. It's usually happening around 16, 17. So a lot of women are still smaller and then they grow into what would be a, I'd say the most competitive weight class size in the world is around 54 kgs or, you know, like in the States, for example, the mixed martial arts community, the UFC has a 115-pound weight class. Competitively, that's the best weight class in the world. For women, it is the same. That is about the best weight class in the world. If you look at it, women who weigh between 115 pounds and 122 pounds, I'd say those are the best fighters in the world. Or they have the best resumes and they have the best opportunity of getting together and creating the type of matchups that everybody wants to talk about. Clearly, there are great athletes when you go a little bit higher and a little bit below. But I'm going to start off in the smallest weight class, talk to you about these women, and talk to you about what you should expect to see moving forward. First of all, I'm going to go ahead and start with somewhat of a name because she has a promotion behind her. I'm going to start with Mio Tatsumura. And the reason why I start with her is if you go to iTunes and you just put in Mio, M-I-O, put it in big letters, and just put it in shoot boxing, and you'll see her. She's got really good boxing, good movement. She's got, you know, pretty face. She's the kind of person that they want to sell. She's a very small woman, of course, fighting in the smallest weight class that they'd have. Around 100 pounds is usually where she campaigns at. But the reason why I bring her up first over some of the stadium women that I'm going to talk about is because Mio gets the opportunity to fight international competition because of the shoot boxing brand. Every once in a while, they're going to bring someone in. For the most part, she's been fighting Japanese fighters. That's who she's seen in the shootboxing tournaments. But last year, the tournament, they'd always used her in four-woman tournaments, and she'd always been on the undercards when Rena had won the championship for the shootboxing all-women's cards. But I really wanted to start off with Mio Tatsumura because I really believe that she is because she's probably going to stay small for a while, there's a lot of fun international matchups they can make with her. Clearly, I would love it if she hit the international trail and, you know, went down to try some stadium Muay Thai. I do think that there's some girls that would, you know, get her in the clinch and whatever, but I do think that it's good for her to try. So, first start off with M.I.O. Mio Tatsumura. I've heard her call herself Mio Kubuto before, but let's just go with just Mio. M.I.O. is the best way to find her. Going to go ahead and talk about another woman. I will hit up the stadium for this. Run off a couple names. Clearly, the best way to kind of get a grasp of who these women are is to go to another fighter I'm actually going to be talking about a little bit later, known kind of for her, not just her journalistic input and what she's done for the sport, but also the fact that she's an active competitor. She's just posted the other day that her goal is to try to get to 200 fights as a Forang fighter in Thailand, and that's Sylvie Von Douglas Itu. And Sylvie has a website, 8limbs.us. If you go to that website, you will be able to find, you know, a lot of small articles talking about the difference between Thai style, talking about the difference, cultural differences, things that she's dealing with just as a woman in the sport. She's got great, great interviews, great write-ups. Like, definitely check her out. I'll talk about Sylvie as a competitor a little bit more. But for those who are interested, you can get a list of some of the smaller female fighters in the world from 48 to 52 kgs. She's got one on her site, 8limbs.us. Definitely check that out. Or just find Sylvie on Facebook or find her on Twitter, and you will see that she's posting stuff for you to follow. So definitely going to go ahead and jump into a couple names in the list. Loma Luk Boonmi. Lama, L-O-M-A. And then Luk Boonmi is the name of the gym. I bring her up because she's one IFMA's, when I say at a smaller weight class. She's very, very intelligent, very good fighter, very skilled. Definitely a name to look for. Another one, Lamani. She is L-O-M-M-A-N-E-E. She won gold Thailand Games. Fights around 51 kgs. Again, very talented. I'll just kind of go off first names. The main name that I'm going to talk about for people to pay attention to in Thailand is probably the one that a lot of you have probably seen but didn't know who it was. Petgg O Mikun. And the reason why I say that, or Mikun, Gigi is probably one of the most skilled fighters in the world. She's most known as the girl who fights the boys. So if you've seen her videos, like there's like videos that have surfaced of her. Now all of them are real fights. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. Some of those are kind of those show fights. One of the, I was watching my Twitter wall the other day. Well, I won't say the other day, about a month or two ago. And a prominent writer and TV personality for ESPN, he posted the fight on his page where Jia is fighting a boy in a fight that looks like it's real, but it's not. It's staged. There's actually a YouTube video of them practicing the moves before they do it. But it's one of those shows. If you've ever been to Thailand before, clearly there's your stadiums, and those are the big, the real shows. But sometimes you just be walking down the street. There's a lot of bars and so on or whatever. And some of them have rings in there, and then there'll be a show where people will put on and, you know, kind of get the betting going and have people give money to the youngsters or whatever. But she's not only she's been in those, but she's also been in the real, you know, she's most known for being in real fights. And she can fight. Petgj is like, she's a very skilled single kicker. She's got good movement. Her clinch is just insane. She's extremely talented. She is, I believe she just turned 14 years old. She can fight, you know, people bigger, smaller. She's very, very talented. And she's beautiful to watch. Like, her technique is beautiful to watch. So, Petgee space Gaa. You just put that into your YouTube search engine, and you'll see a very, very talented fighter. And she's so young. Most of the fights you're gonna watch, she's gonna be 12 and 13. Now, as she's getting older, clearly she can't fight the boys as much. Same as Iman Barlow, who I'm gonna talk about later. Iman Barlow fought boys a lot, and then she got to 13, 14, and then puberty hit, and then they were a lot stronger. But when they were smaller, they were just all small together and all competing together. GJ is just amazing, and she was so good, so strong in the clinch. Definitely someone to watch out for, and of the names of the smaller fighters, she's probably the one that I would say, the main one that you want to look at. She's one of the main ones out of Thailand in particular that you want to pay attention to. going to go ahead and move down the list. Another one I'm going to talk about, this is a personal favorite of mine, is Cherry Gore Twin of Twin Jam. And Cherry, I met Cherry when she was very, very young. She actually happened to be training at one of the Fairtex gyms at the time. And that's when I first heard about her. And, you know, there had been some videos that emerged of her when she was really younger. It's just, you'll see that kind of comment. Cherry's a name that, like, for those of you who heard the Full Rules Tie, I brought up, what was it? I repeated, I'm going to mess the name up, but I said a name and there's like two or three fighters that had that same name. Cherry's a common name that you can see come a lot, but I do believe you put in Cherry Gore Twin Gyms. So Cherry, spelled as it, you know, Cherry, space G-O-R, and then Twin Gym, like the gear, Twin Gym. You should be able to find something on her. She's very talented. But just because I saw her when I was in Thailand a long time ago and she was a young girl, now she's 19, I believe. I'm excited about, you know, her future and who she's going to fight. And I would love for her to get the international opportunity. Plus, when you see Twins Gym, you wonder if it's possible. Bigger gyms, bigger managements, they can make these fights happen. I'm going to go ahead and just mention a few others. Seo Ito is another girl who's a Japanese fighter who's, you know, kind of making way. She's very young. Seo Ito is 17 years old, another young woman, but she is kind of put herself on the map because she beat another person who's a favorite of mine, Little Tiger. Little Tiger is a girl who I have been paying attention to her for a while. She's got a good style. She can kickbox. She can fight in the clinch. She's just not elite in the clinch. And her kickboxing is usually serviceable. Boxes more than anything. And she can lose decisions in Thailand because of the structure of how they score the points as far as the body kicks and so on. Sometimes she gets into a regular K-1 style game. And then people can get that edge on her. With Seo Ito, at 17 years old, she was able to beat Little Tiger. And they fought about 100 pounds for the WPMF belt. I believe if you go to Sylvie's site, she has the video somewhere. Not 100% sure, but those are names. S-A-Y-A-I-T-O, and then Little Tiger, literally spelled Little Tiger, L-I-T-T-L-E, T-I-G-E-R. You'll see them as Japanese fighters in the way that I mentioned Mio before, who are very talented and just names to be looking out for in the future. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this weight class up with about four more names. You know, I don't want to go too crazy because I can just keep name dropping, but I want to go slow enough for you guys to be like, okay, that's the name. I'll go look the person up. I'm going to go ahead and return to Sylvie now, as I mentioned before. Sylvie Von Douglas E2. Sylvie, S-Y-L-V-I-E, V-O-N, D-U-U-G-L-A-S. Now, she is the one to watch. She's a clinch fighter. If you ever watch her, that's her style. She's a clinch fighter. She's going to get a lot of Thai dumps. She'll score body kicks here and there, but really she wants to close the distance. She wants to beat you in the clinch. She's won fights because girls couldn't handle her clinch, couldn't get out of her clinch. That's something that you will see in Thailand, in women's fights, in, you know, not so much in the stadium levels, but at the high stadiums, but in your local stadiums. If you can't stop something, that's cause for them to stop the fight. So they don't get enough credit, but the refs in Thailand are some of the best refs on the planet in terms of protecting an athlete. And if you can't stop someone's clinch, they'll step in and stop the fight. If you can't stop someone's body kick, they'll step in and stop the fight. I remember one fight where Yotsen Kai goes against this heavy, you know, the guy's like 220 pounds, and the guy couldn't stop Yotsen Kai's body kick, and the ref just came in and stopped it. He's like, I'm not going to just, you know, watch you get body kicked for five rounds. And he came in and he stopped it, and the guy was, you know, outweighed Yotsen Kai by like 70 pounds, but skill matters. Sylvie has stopped people in the clinch with that skill and with her strength. And she's a smaller woman. You know, she said she walks around at 48. She can fight as low as 45 if she wants to. But her goal, I mean, she's got more fights than anybody who's ever, you know, any Westerner to ever, or any foreign for that matter, to fight in the country. And she's going to, on her way up to 200. But the goal, or the main reason why you want to pay attention to Sylvie, is because of her extra contributions to the sport. I'm going to try to have her on the podcast, but she's going to explain to you things like getting your shins harder, technique, how things are scored, perception of cuts, the culture. Like, she is huge for the sport. So, great ambassador. Awakening gave her the Fighter of the Year for them, and I think it's because of her, the total package of what she brings to the sport, not just simply wins and losses. But definitely, Sylvie Von Douglas E2 is someone you gotta know in this sport. Gotta know her. I will wrap this up with a couple other ones. First, I'm going to talk about a girl who out of Australia named Alma Jinuku. And Alma is a very skilled girl. You can find her if you want to know more about her. Definitely hit up Kaylee Reese. But Alma, A-L-M-A Jinuku. I hope I spell her last name right. J-A-N-I-K-U. She's a small girl. Again, young girl too. But she's very skilled. She understands the game. She understands, you know, the Thai bounce movement. She's a prospect that people are kind of getting, you know, they're paying attention to. She's still young. We want to know what's going to come from her in the future. We expect to see her at IFMAs. We expect to see her, you know, fighting on a regular basis. But she's a name to start paying attention to right now. She just won a title for, I think she just won the Australian title. I can't remember what promotion it was for. I want to say that happened just this past weekend. Talented girl. Be on the lookout for Alma. Definitely. Alma Jinuku, a name you want to pay attention to. Also, Dakota Dicheva from England, she is set to be their next big star. Again, a younger girl fighting at a smaller weight class. I've seen her, you know, 48 kgs is, I think, the last fight when I was kind of prepping for this show. She's tall. She's athletic. She's violent. If you look at her fight in Thailand, she stops a girl with just a barrage. She is someone to pay attention to. Dakota Dicheva, D-A-K-A-T-A, Dakota, I believe I'm spelling that right. I don't know if it's D, but I believe it's spelled Dakota. And then Dicheva, D-I-T-C-H-E-V-A, very skilled. There's already write-ups on her. I saw one write-up saying, is she the next Ronda Rousey? Because, you know, if you're good and you fight, everybody compares you to Ronda Rousey as opposed to comparing you to someone in, you know, Muay Thai, you know, or someone in kickboxing. You're always going to compare to the most famous female combat sports figure. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do think that Dakota is a talent. And if she can get a promotion behind her in the way that Imam Barlow got Infusion behind her, if she can get that opportunity, she can reign as a international name as she gets older, because she is very, very talented. Dakota Dicheva is definitely a name to look out for. So I'm going to go ahead and, I mean, there's... clearly, there are others that I can mention, but I just look at this list and go, man, I'll be here all day kind of going off name after name. I want to make sure that I just give you guys a few to go with, and I hope that you can look at these smaller weight class girls, enter their names into YouTube, enter their names into, you know, the Google search engine and see what comes up. You know, I'll go ahead and return to Little Tiger just in case you don't get her name under Little Tiger, which you should. All her fights should be under that name. But you can also go Ayaka Miyuchi, which is A-Y-A-K-A-M-I-U-A-U-C-H-I. So definitely look her up if you get that opportunity. She's talented. And then I will add one more name just because I want to go a little bit more in the international flavor. And Sylvia Lanade. Sylvia S-I-L-V-I-A, space L-A, space N-O-T-T-E. She is a girl I've seen fight, you know, before. She's older, 33 years old, so she's not a young up-and-comer like some of the others. But she's a veteran fighter who's fought in Thailand, who's fought in Italy. She's fought for Jacau. Definitely remember her name as you go to your iTunes search engine. So we're going to go ahead and move forward. We're going to go ahead and go into the weight class that I believe is the deepest. This is the weight class that has the most talented women in the world, 53 to 56 kgs. Now, that's kind of a big separation. There's a lot of weight variation in there. But I felt like just breaking this show down into where you're going to find talent. So you've got the smallest of women, and you've got the talent, the space that's got the most talent, the deepest pool, and then we're going to go to the weights above that. But I wanted to kind of separate it in that way, and I'm going to start with 53 to 56. First, got to start off with the woman who's probably the best in the world right now. If I were to do a pound-for-pound fighter of the year, not necessarily fight of the year, but pound-for-pound best fighter on the planet in the female division, if you made me do a list, I would have to arrange it in terms of three women and, you know, two of the three met, and Anissa Mexen won. So Anissa Mexen from France would be my number one fighter in the world if I put together a list of the top 10 fighters on the planet. And Anissa Mexen, it's not just that she's skilled, she's very athletic, she's got a good flow for kickboxing and Muay Thai, combination low kicks, has good counter kick game, but she has one of the meanest left hooks ever. Stopped two girls or three girls in the Infusion tournament that she won. She just able to find her range in it. Now, again, she had a loss last year because there's been some weird things going on in Kunlun, and there's been some decisions where people have just kept getting extra rounds until the Chinese fighters won. I think people are feeling that's kind of popping up, and they're not liking that. It happened to Valentina Shevchenko last year in a fight where it's like, okay, this call is going to be the result of why you lose the fight. But they also do good things in Kunlun. What was it? I believe one of the cards had it. Amon Barlow fought there. I want to say it was for Kunlun. It was some promotion in China. But she lost the point because she didn't make weight. She took the fight. I can't remember if it was short notice or not. But she didn't make weight. And they took a point. That's awesome. That is awesome. I mean, Amon overcame and he was able to win the fight. But I like that kind of thinking. I like that, all right, you did not make the contracted weight. We need to affect you on fight night because you are affecting the other athlete on fight night. We're going to take a point from you. That's genius. I think that is a genius thing to do. With that said, returning to Anissa Mexen, we're talking about a girl, A-N-I-S-S-A-M-E-K-S-O-N. She is as skilled as it comes. You know, she's just, you'll see it. She's got a good look about her. She's got the athleticism. It shows up right away. Very, very skilled fighter. Go watch her fights because not only is she going to win, she stops girls. I mean, that matters a lot for me in kick fighting. Whether you're fighting Muay Thai or kickboxing rules, the ability to not go to the cards matters, and it matters even more in women's fighting. So, Anissa Mexen, first name I'm going to mention. Name number two is Amon Barlow. Amon Barlow is, you know, of course you guys know, I've been talking about Amon for a while. I've known about Amon since she was 15, 16 years old. She's going up towards 200 fights. She had a family. She grew up in a Muay Thai family. Her mom was three times British champion. Dad's been a coach forever. Her brother, Ty's very talented. But she lives this. This is what she does full time. And it's funny because she's talking about getting a place with her brother so they can have their own, you know, house. I think they're just doing it as a business. They're putting their fight money together and just getting a house and maybe rent it out and so on. But she has been so savvy with her money and so savvy with her fight career. The biggest thing is, and Amon Barlow is unique because usually when there's an elite female woman, other women don't want to fight them. So Urina Barrs, for example. Urina Barrs is a girl who she fought at the highest level, and once she started to stop girls and got to the top, she ran out of fights. Like, people didn't want to fight her twice and so on. Even worse, if you go before that, if you go to a Jermaine Durandami, got to the top, nobody's trying to fight Jermaine once she was there. You know, she had one kickboxing fight like 2 or 3 years ago where there's somebody just happened to want to test themselves against her, and that gave her that opportunity. Amon Barlow seems, for whatever reason, when she became an elite fighter, that skipped her. So she's had a lot of international. I would say, if you look at record-wise, who has the best record in all of women's Muay Thai and kickboxing, without question, I'd say Amon Barlow. She has the most international names. She's gone to Spain and fought some of the best from Spain. She's fought best from Greece. Like, she's fought, you know, in her hometown, you know, the Alexis Rufus fight. Shout out to Alexis Rufus, very good fighter. But she's gotten these opportunities a lot in her career, and she just keeps winning, you know. Plus, she's a star. Like, the way she walks out to the ring, her charisma, you know, the way she calls the crowd in, the fight she has where she's throwing the body kicks as if she's on tie pads. Like, she's just an exceptional talent, wonderful girl. And, you know, it helps that you're pretty, of course, that comes into play. But Amon Barlow is the number two fighter that I would mention in all that weight class. I-M-A-N-B-A-R-L-O-W. Last year, she didn't have as many fights emerge. She did have the win over Samantha Van Dorn, who she's beaten twice now. She beat her on the Infusion Reality show as well. But she is as skilled as it comes, and you're going to see the charisma. You're going to see that she's having fun, and she's a story. She's an inspirational story in terms of there was a period of time where she's burnt out in the sport, and she gave up. She just started drinking and going out and not, and, you know, like trying to live a party lifestyle like 16. And she said she just kind of had a moment where she reflected on her life, and she said, you know what, Muay Thai isn't something that my parents were forcing me into. It's something that I wanted to do. And when she did that, you know, the weight came off, and she just started competing at a high level, going against a lot of international names. Definitely Amon Barlow was someone to know. Anissa Mexen, Amon Barlow are 1 and 2 for this weight class as far as women to pay attention to. Next person I'm going to go to is, I'm going to bring up Wang Qihan. And Wang Qihan is another girl who, it's weird because Jemima Betrayne is also an elite name. So if I were to go off the top, you know, five in that weight class, I'd mention these two names. But Wang Qihan is the elite fighter as far as skill goes for me in China. Clearly for the women, she's the most elite. But I would say even amongst the men, she's one of the most skilled. Like, her combination flows good. Her left hook is legit. She has legit KO power. Not playing KO power. Sometimes people say that when they get stoppages. I've seen women have 10 fights, 10 stoppages. It just matters who the 10 are against, okay? This girl can crack. And when she dropped Jemima, I was like, whoa, you know? And, of course, they were in that epic battle where, Jemima was pretty much dropped twice in the first round. They only called one of them a down, and then Jemima had to fight back, and she won in the extra round. That battle made them friends forever. So if you watch either girl on Instagram, Wang will train with Jemima in Holland. Jemima will train with Wang in China. Both of them will be in Los Angeles because Qihan's been fighting in the States. Wang Qihan is probably one of the most active female fighters in the world. I can't believe, I think in the last like 4 or 5 months, she might have fought four times, which is really, really good. She's a talent, you know. She's just got, I remember the video that they have of her. She's just this down-to-earth girl. It shows her with her cats, and she's smiling like you wouldn't imagine the beast is coming out. And then as soon as the fight starts, Wang Qihan is like, all go. Wang Qihan. Sometimes you'll see K-E, then you'll see like a dash or like some sort of separation, and then H-A-N. Wang Qihan is a very, very talented fighter. You definitely want to make sure you have your name out or have her name down. Someone to watch, someone to pay attention to. She's a talent. She can crack. Good kickboxing flow. And when she sits on her punches, she's throwing some heat. Next person I'm going to talk about is Rina. And Rita Kudo, or just called Rina now, she's got a whole promotion behind her, the way Iman Barlow and an SMX, and have Infusion helping them, you know, as far as getting their brand out there. Barlow, of course, is a champion for them, and this Mexican is not a champion yet. Either she's going to fight Barlow for it, or she's going to fight for the title of weight class above. But Rina Kubota's got shoeboxing behind her. And in that promotion, she does the shoeboxing is stand-up valetudo. So they've got, you don't get credit for takedowns, you get credit for throws and slams. And she does a good job of the judo throws as far as mixing it up, because they love the judo throws. And she has a great kickboxing flow, and man, her left hook to the body is no joke. She can really strike. Now, clearly the question is, I mean, she's doing both until her record builds up, but wouldn't be surprised to see her in the UFC one day. She won her MMA debut a couple weeks ago, flying armbar. A month ago now. But she's talented. She's talented and she's pretty. And I mentioned the pretty thing because it's how, it's fair and not fair at the same time. It's just the way the world is. Most of the people in the audience in combat sports are men. And men are attracted to attractive women. It's just, you know, for the most part. It's just kind of the way it is. And if you are talented, clearly men are going to appreciate your skill. You know, in the way they appreciate the skill for men, if you go out there and you show good skill set, the men will be drawn to you. If you do that and you're pretty, they'll be more so drawn to you. That's just how it is. There's a reason why we talk about Ronda Rousey as the most popular female figure in combat sports and women's sports for that matter. It's because she's pretty too. That helps. So Rina is definitely an attractive woman. Can definitely fight, has a good skill set. Kickboxing flow is great. She, you know, goes on and off between winning the shootboxing tournament and just being in single fights all year. I don't know if she's on a TV show, but I know that she's, you know, frequents being on TV for different things. And she's very talented and definitely want to see more of Rina moving down the road. So we got Nissa Mexen, we got Iman Barlow, we got Wang Qihan, and we got Rina, as we talk about the top four women as far as eyes on them and so on. Next fighter I'm going to talk about is a girl who just dropped down to be in that weight class range. She was just outside of it before, and Tiffany Von Soest. Tiffany Von Soest, of course, has got a promotion behind her. She's got Lion Fight behind her, but it's, apparently her contract is up. Now that she dropped to 119 pounds, the question is she going to go to MMA? She had one MMA fight, and she was submitted in that fight. But, you know, get around the right team, the right gym, do this full-time, and maybe that's what she pursues. Now, clearly, they talked about her leaving for MMA before, and then she re-signed with Lion Fight and fought some more. there are great fights to be had for her, because Tiffany Von Seuss has also got one of the best resumes out there. Bernice Aldis, Alexis Rufus, Lucy Payne. She's got an awesome, I mean, the loss to Kaylee Reese, no shame there. You know, she's got an awesome resume. She really has been fighting the best. No fighter, I'd say, in America has fought elite fighters to the effect or to the extent that we've gotten from Tiffany Von Seuss in the last 3-4 years. Like, she's really been putting herself out there. There were some girls to get started and get going in the beginning, but you look at her, I mean, she's got Jemima Betrain. Yeah, I mean, they fought to a draw. Like, she's fought a lot of elite girls. She's probably got, I truly believe, she has put herself out there to fight the elite the most. So, her moving down to the weight class, clearly, if you're like, man, you know, if you're line fight, you sign her and you say, hey, who do we find to come in and fight her? I'll give you a list of girls. First of all, anybody that I've named already. But Anissa Mexican and Tiffany Von Seuss would just be lights out awesome. So definitely hoping that something can come together. Tiffany, same thing. Pretty, got the look. She's been doing seminars now. She's starting to love living in Bali because she loves surfing. And that's kind of, it seems like she's going to train, fight here in the States, then go back to Bali and hang out. So if that's what her schedule is, I mean, it'll work out, but that's kind of where her head is has been of late. If she wants to do MMA full-time, I don't know if she's going to continue to do the staying out in Bali thing, but she is a star. She's someone to be paying attention to in the sport. She's someone to follow. She does a lot of unique things with her kickboxing. I mean, she's switches stance, her combination flow. I mean, she's got a big low kick whip. She does things very, very, not just technical, but she has her own way about doing it with her spinning technique, spinning back elbows, and so on. She's a joy to watch. Very, very entertaining. Tiffany Von Seuss, TiffanySoest, VanSoest, Tiffany Von Seuss. Going to go ahead and start running off some other names in the weight class to pay attention to. Won't rest in them as long. Going to go over to Australia. In Australia, we've got well, I mean, she's a little bit lighter, but I mean, Kristina Jurjevic, of course, is a girl who's fought on at a little bit. She's kind of right on that edge. She's probably right around 53 kg. She fought for, you know, in a lighter weight. She's fought international before. Of course, they've brought her up to fight a couple times for the shoeboxing brand. She's fought Rena like 3 times, and she's. Again, she's pretty, so that always comes into play for physically attractive. But you watch her full rules Thai, she plays the game, and she has an entertaining style of Muay Thai. Like, she's having fun out there, the way she throws her body kicks, the way she throws her dumps, and so on. Like, she's relaxed. She's got a rhythm about her. Like, if you watch her, you're entertained by her. And I watched this thing where in Australia, you know, they had the embedded show for UFC, and one of the competitors, name eludes me right now, but they went out with Mark Hunt to watch a Muay Thai event, and one of the women was just really enthralled by, like, her style. She goes, the girl I went for didn't win, but man, she's got a good style, and man, she can fight, and you're just watching how, and it's Kristina Jurjevic. So as soon as I saw Kristina right away, I was like, wow, that's crazy. But Kristina is just, she has an entertaining style of Muay Thai. Like, if you watch it, you're like, wow, she's having fun out there. Like, she's having, like, the game. She's playing the game well. So you'll definitely enjoy her. Sam Brown, I mean, she is, when she went against the Bullet Williams a couple years ago, or a year and a half ago, however that was, it was a fight made up for the future versus the past. And, you know, the Bullet's always been talented, but she went out there and, like, Brown just ran her over. And then everybody was paying attention to Sam Brown after that. Sam Brown, after the Infusion reality show, she got the opportunity to come up, train in Holland, fought a couple times, lost to Samantha Van Doorn, but she won. I can't remember if she won off the top of my head, but, like, she's living it. She's living the dream. She's traveling international. She's doing Muay Thai, full rules Muay Thai. She does the cage Muay Thai. I know she's done it at least once for John Wayne Parr's event. Another name that you really want to be paying attention to, very, very talented girl. What comes for her future, I mean, we'll see, but, like, those are two names, Kristina Jurjevic and Sam Brown, that you want to definitely pay attention to, but they're not the best name. I would say the best name, with Kaylee Reese being out of the sport, I'd say the best fighter in Australia right now is Alicia Pestana. Now, Alicia Pestana is A-L-I-C-I-A-P-A-S-T-A-N-A. She has wins over Brown, wins over Jurjevic. I believe she just lost to Iman Barlow. If I'm just, I can't remember the date on it. I believe that just happened. But very talented, very skilled. I mean, those are big time names to have on your resume. And also, before I forget, Kristina Jurjevic, Christina Jurjevic, and then Sam Brown, S-A-M, then Brown, B-R-O-W-N. But Alicia is a talent, and I believe that she's got the best resume with those wins. I want to see more of her moving forward. She needs some international opportunities. The Iman Barlow fight, that's huge. That's huge that she took it. Who cares if you win or lose? Sometimes you just have to have that feel. And once upon a time, there was a Paul Briggs who went over to Thailand to challenge himself against Jamad, and Jamad beat him. But he was like, I needed to know because I beat the best in Japan. I needed to know where I stood, and I went out there and I tried it. Expect the same from Alicia as she moves forward, tries her hand at fighting some of the international opponents out there. And it was awesome that the promoter brought Iman Barlow in. That's huge. So definitely want to see more from her moving forward. Couple other names. Lim Soo-jung is talking about returning to the sport. Now, Lim Soo-jung, again, she's a Korean fighter, and she's pretty. She's an attractive woman. So if you saw her, you'd be like, wow, she's very pretty. She's big into CrossFit. You follow her on Instagram. She doesn't post stuff all the time. But Lim Soo-jung. She's very talented kickboxer, and she beat Rena once upon a time, about probably 5 years ago now, 5-6 years ago now. But she left the sport after she had some success. She fought on the shootboxing, and she never was able to get to another fight with Rena. She lost before those matchups happened, but she's talented, and she's a good name to have in the sport. Definitely someone to pay attention to. She is, you'll notice when you see her, you'll notice her kickboxing skill. You'll notice that she can sit on her punches. But the main thing that stands out about her, she is physically attractive. And, you know, for a skilled woman, you'll notice her. So a couple other names I want to talk about. Again, I got to spend a little bit more time here because this is the wealthiest of weight classes. Yona Wymans, I-L-O-N-A-W-I-J-M-A-N-S. She is a talented female fighter from Holland. It's always in these awesome fights. No one on the planet has the best flow for letting their hands go than Yona Wymans. She doesn't always land, but as soon as she's close enough, she's going to throw a flurry of punches every single time. She's not going to be cute about it. She's looking for opportunities to let her hands go. She's got the best. When she starts winning, her combo flow is just, it's just great. It's just great to watch when she takes the advantage in the fight. Her 1-2-3 low kicks, her hook low kicks, her 1-2 cross the high kick. She loves the left switch kick. She loves that high kick. Like, she's a very entertaining fighter. She's once again in my fighter of the year. She was in it before. She's been in three fights that I can truly say are like fights of the year. Her fight with Anka Van Gestel, fight of the year. Her fight with Samantha Van Dorn, that's the one that I have when my highlight comes out, as fight of the year for the women last year. And then, of course, her fight with Denise Kielholtz, which is, I mean, they changed the decision later, which kind of, kills it a little bit. But that night, she was the winner. But, like, she is a very entertaining fighter. You definitely want to check her out. Speaking of Samantha Van Dorn, S-A-M-A-N-T-H-A-V-A-N-D-O-O-R-M. Samantha Van Dorn is a kickboxing flow, like, the best she'd ever looked to me was in the fight with Yona Wymans. But Yona had the early advantage, and then she just started to come back with combination flow. Hook, low kick, combination low kick, movement, punches and bunches. She struggles with elite girls. Like, the fight with Iman Barlow was a 50-45 one-sided, in favor of Iman. She would not beat Anissa Mexen. Like, she won't be elite girls, to the top five that I kind of mentioned before: Von Seuss, Barlow, Mexen, Kan Weihong, Wang Qian, even Rena. Those girls I would all pick to beat Samantha Van Dorn. But she's very talented. She does have good kickboxing flow, and she's not the greatest of athlete, but she just understands what it takes to be successful in there. So definitely pay attention to her. Couple other names. Takahashi, A-I-T-A-K-A-H-A-S-H-I. She is a shootboxing long stay. She's very tall for the weight class. She's been there for a while, lands long shots, fights in distance. She's been in a combination, or kind of been in these wars where she's been fighting over and over Mizuki Inoue. Now, if you're wondering where you know the name Mizuki Inoue is a fighter for, in MMA, I believe she's like 10-3, and she is very talented. She's UFC bound, no doubt, but she lost in a split decision to Caroline, forgetting her name, Caroline, the Polish fighter, name eludes me in the moment, please forgive me, but in MMA she lost a split decision to her. She's coming off of a victory on Invicta. She's very, very talented, but she's a career fighter, so she fights MMA and Invicta, and jewels are deep there in Japan, and then she will always fight shoot boxing if the opportunity presents herself. Mizuki Inoue won the 2013 year was the year that she won the shoeboxing tournament. And again, she met Ae Takahashi there. She takes a few moments to find her range, and the next thing you know, she can hit you with every punch. She's got one of the best pull counters in all of combat sports, and her boxing acumen is through the roof. She understands how to make you miss and how to make you pay. She understands movement. She showed a little struggle in one of her MMA fights with dealing with people who low kick, and then she came back in her next MMA fight with a solution to that, with a variation of combination kick that she had grown. So she's coming off, like I said, a loss just last month in a split decision to Ae Takahashi. I want to say that was in December. But Mizuki Inoue, as long as she fights both, she is a kickboxing talent because her boxing acumen is so hot. The KO power isn't there yet. I mean, we're talking about somebody's 20, 21 years old. But, man, she understands distance and movement extremely well. Eva Nelronja is at the end of her career. Oh, by the way, Mizuki, Mizuki, Inoue, Inoue. Eva Nelronja is at the end of her career, as I was mentioning before. Eva Nelronja. She had a really good fight or a good effort in a loss to Anissa Mexen. She's got a win over Iman Barlow in an extra round. A lot of people did not like that decision. A lot of people were fine with it. But she's got a good combination flow style, and she bites down, and she'll return. She's older, so I don't know how much she's going to fight, but definitely a name that's serviceable to be brought in any promotion in the world, she can fight. But historically, Spain and Italy and kickboxing are the worst when it comes to some of their decisions. So people wonder about that, going to fight her in her hometown, but she still is a talent. She's a talented kickboxer for sure. We lost a couple to MMA. Jemima Betrayan, as I mentioned before, is a talent. Very athletic. She can throw punches and so on. She's got KO pop. Very, very aggressive. But she's not fought kickboxing in the past year. She really didn't fight MMA that much the past year. I think she's been dealing with injuries, maybe management. She's been training a lot. She's been working with Wang Kihang a lot, but I haven't seen her compete as much. But Jemima Betrayan, G-E-M-Y-M-A, B-E-T-R-A-I-N, very, very talented. Very, very talented fighter. Want to see more of her moving forward. I hope she returns to kickboxing. Denise Akilholtz, also full-time MMA. She had her MMA debut. She lost it. She is the reigning champion still in Infusion. They have not stripped her of the title despite the fact that she hasn't fought more than a year. We'll see what they do with her moving forward. I think she should fight both. But she's making MMA her priority right now, and, you know, we'll see what comes from it. But she's a talent. She's got a win, a legit win over Tiffany Von Soest in a close, entertaining fight. She scored it down. It's crazy because Tiffany was playing with spinning stuff all fight and didn't land it. And then Denise tried it and scored it right in the chin, caught her off balance, and scored it down in the fight. Denise Akilholtz can fight, and she's a good athlete. And, again, very physically attractive, all that stuff. Helps as far as selling your brand, but I'd like to see her return to kickboxing. Denise Kilholtz, Keilholtz. I've seen it spelled differently one other time, but that's the main way that I know it to be spelled for sure. Moving forward, we're going to go ahead and add a couple other notables. Ashley Nichols, who just lost to, 2 weeks ago, she just lost to Tiffany Von Soest. She impressed me in that fight. She did way better than I thought. I knew she's serviceable. She can find her right hand. She'll bite down at her mouthpiece. She is a fighter. She's a fighter that I would love to see get a lot of international opportunities. Her and Sam Brown would be an awesome fight to put together. Somebody's got to do that, you know. She's a talent. I'd love to see her. Iman Barlow Mexen, bring her out. She's very, very skilled. Ashley, Ashley Nichols, Nichols. Talented girl. Don't know how she's going to do when someone has more volume than her, but I do think that she's skilled enough to be mentioned amongst these names. Despite the fact that she lost, Bernice Aldis is still a talent. Like, we're talking about somebody who left the sport to have a child. They returned to the sport. She got a win for Yakao, and then her second fight was against Tiffany Von Soest, and she said she wished she had the fight over because Tiffany caught her with an elbow right in the cheek, and that kind of disrupted her game the whole time. Now, again, she has a very entertaining style of Muay Thai because she, again, she plays the game well, and she is as technically sound as any woman on the planet. Like, I'm telling you, her body kick is a body kick. Her technique, like, everything about it is about as flawless as it gets. It is technically perfect. She plays a Thai style game, which is tough with the Tiffany Von Soest because Tiffany moves all the time. So if you play on your front foot, if you play a tap on your front foot, you are always going to struggle with Tiffany Von Soest because she's all over the place. But she showed me a lot in that fight. She showed me that she was definitely skilled, that she could, you know, get in these clinch spots and have success, that she could fight through it. But the showcase of her talent and her movement showed up the most, I'd say, in the Yikao fight earlier this year. She was a prodigy, too. She started off, I mean, we're talking about world champion, 15, 16 years old, you know, going against elite girl. She's got a name. She's really, really good. I definitely pay attention to her moving forward. BERNICEALDIS, Bernice Aldis. That is, for the most part, most of the names, I mean, there's like Isis Verbeek, Verbeek, V-E-E-R-B-E-E-K. I just want to throw a name out there. Not super notable. Lucy Payne is a very talented fighter. Again, she's known for her losses, of course, to Tiffany Von Soest, but Lucy Payne, L-U-C-Y, P-A-Y-N-E, very tall for the weight class, uses her length well, good knees, good teeps. Those girls, for the most part, are the ones that you want to pay attention to. And I could throw a couple others in there. V.V. May, V.V., as I said before, M-A-I, she's another person that fights in shoeboxing a lot. I believe that the names that I've given you are the names that you want to pay attention to in that range. You really do. I think that that covers most of the girls. And there's some that I'm going to miss here and there. But that's going to cover the main ones that you want to pay attention to between 53, 56 kgs. Now I'm going to go ahead and go to 57 plus. Wrap the women's portion of this show up. Again, these girls, the reason why I didn't do a year in review for last year is I just felt like the fights weren't consistent enough for me to get that picture. And if my fighter of the year for last year was Tiffany Von Soest, the win over Aldis was big. I really liked the Chalma fight. I wasn't as high on as some of the other people were, but I really liked the Kroll win, and I really liked the win over Bernice Aldis. But gonna go ahead and move to 57 plus. When you talk about anybody over 57 plus, the name that you most have to pay attention to, because the one that's most getting attention to her, is Irina Bears. And Irina Bears, it's crazy because she emerges, it's like in the way that once upon a time there was a Peter Arts, Ernesto Hoos, and then there was a Rumba Bonjowski, and then there was a Badr Hari, and then there was the next big thing. In that way that they have that in Holland for the men, they have that in Holland for the women. And you kind of go to Lucia Riker, and after Lucia Riker, you can fill that gap with Jermaine Durandami. And then after Jermaine, I would say that the next star to emerge was Urena. Like, she came right in right after that. And very skilled. Kickboxing flow is perfect. Like, combinations low kick is perfect. She's not a crazy athlete. She's decently athletic, but she's not a crazy athlete. But man, when she gets that hands of the low kick flow going, she starts scoring low kick on you. You saw with Chantel Ugi, she's trouble. She's trouble for anybody. And she really did have those wins last year were solid wins. I think Chantel is a little bit older. And Chantel Ugi is another girl who, she's a career fighter who's just looking for opportunities to push her career. No longer amongst the elite. I think there was one period of time where she was at least a name to be brought in, but when she went against the likes of Amanda Kelly and Bars, like she just struggled against elite girls. But definitely want to bring up Chantel, Chantel Ughi. Irina Bars, the J spelled sounds like a Y in Holland, so it'd be J-O-R-I-N-A. B-A-A-R-S for Irina. And just kickboxing flow, she is the premier, again, much higher than 57 kgs, but this is 57 plus. So she's the name that you want to pay attention to. Question is, who do we bring in to fight Irina Bears? We're talking about the best fighter in the world. One of the first names that I would think of is Antonina Shevchenko. Now, again, this weight class, of course, is the loss of Valentina Shevchenko, who, of course, is now fighting in the UFC. And once you're in the UFC, you are done kickboxing. They are exclusive. They do not allow you to fight both. Like Bellator, for example, they just signed Anastasia Yankova. She's allowed to fight both. But you kickbox, that's all you do. That's what their brand is. And I truly believe that Antonina is the best competition out there. She's very skilled. They put on a great fight. She's got the clinch down, but she's going to kickbox with Jarena. So she doesn't, I mean, Jarena, as tall she is, not a good clincher. She's tall, but that's not her strength. She can be beaten in a clinch, and she's got like weird spots, like weird movement once she's in there. She moves in a weird way. But her kickboxing flow is what makes Jarena Barr special. Antonina is very similar to Valentina, but Valentina, I'd say, both of them have similar styles on the feet and how they score straight lefts and how they score single shots and angles and turns, surprise attacks, not in terms of the moment that they find to strike. She's very skilled. Like, Antonina is very skilled. But I'd say the biggest difference is Valentina was so aggressive that she was just known for clinch dumps. And I think that Antonina can win in the clinch, but she's more of a win with the boxing type of fighter. Antonina, Antonina, Shevchenko, I've seen this spelled a lot of times, so if I spelled this wrong, please forgive me. Shevchenko. That is the elite athlete, I'd say, for a challenge for Jarena Barr in the weight class. Definitely someone to look out for. Another name I'm going to mention, because she hasn't fought in a while, but there's some whispers that she might want to come back for one. Miriam Nakamoto is a great fight for anybody. Like she is skilled. She understands the game. She understands movement. Just the other day, I rewatched her fight with Julie Kitchen. And that's when I understand. When she gets her flow going, she's got a beautiful style of kickboxing, too. Her combinations have always been good. When she plays with spinning elbows, she's got really good timing on it because she's a good athlete. I remember she had a leg injury in one fight in China, so she just spent the whole fight just boxing and throwing knees, and that's how she won. She won with knees. She's a talent. She really is. Good hand flow, good movement. I expect to see a lot coming from her, you know, down the road. I truly believe that she's an exceptional talent, a lot of fun to watch. But we'll see. We'll see what comes from her and if she's done fighting, but I would love it if she got in shape and gave him one more run. If she did do it, I wouldn't be surprised if she pursued the MMA route because she was having some success in mixed martial arts and there are girls who she's beaten who've gotten to the UFC, so we'll see. Time will tell, but I definitely want to see if she could come back because she really is a beautiful Muay Thai fighter to watch and she's physically attractive. It also helps. Miriam Nakamoto, Miriam Nakamoto. I believe I spelled that correctly. Another person, Vicky Church. Vicky Church is, to me, a serviceable girl to come out and give you some good rounds and can get some wins here and there. I think she's going to clearly struggle with, you know, I've seen Vicky Church struggle at weight classes below this, but I put her in this category is because I do think she's a good opportunity, a good person that they could bring on for Jarena Barr. I should do a write-up for Liver Kick and opponents they could bring in for Jarena Barr, but she's one name that I'd mention. Amanda Kelly left kickboxing to go to kickboxing and Muay Thai to focus on MMA full time. She's not had the desired results that she thought she would since she's been in MMA, so I think that she should continue to fight both. Continue to pursue your MMA career, but go ahead and make some of that kickboxing money, make some of that Muay Thai money. And there's not a lot of money in it, but if you can get the international opportunity to go to Line Fight, they would bring her in to fight Jarena Barr. I've got no doubt about that. So she was brought in to fight Julie Kitchen in Los Angeles. What does that tell you, you know? So I definitely want to see her down the road return to the sport. I mean, she's super nice. I met her when I was filming the kickboxing documentary, and she's that accent is thick. But she's nice, and she can compete, and I definitely want to see more of her down the road. One of the most hardcore backstage warm-ups they've ever seen was Amanda Kelly, because literally she likes to get like slapped and punched by her coach in the back before she goes out there. She gets ready for war. I wish I got it on camera, because when I was surprised by it, I was like, this is legit. It was amazing to watch, and she went out there, of course, and performed great. I want to see her back in Muay Thai and kickboxing. I really do. She's a talent. Next up, I want to talk about the two of the girls, they both lost to Antonina Shevchenko, but they're also notable names that you could use for Lion Fight. And the reason why I keep bringing up Lion Fight is because right now, the exposure that Yuen Barz is getting is the most exposure any woman is getting for the bigger weight classes in women's Muay Thai kickboxing. So those are girls that I'm mentioning now. I'm going to mention some girls around 60 kgs here in a little bit. But Leticia Bakisa and Stana Lammers were both defeated by Antonina Shevchenko on the Infusion reality show. But they're still solid names. Shana, S-H-A-N-A-L-A-M-M-E-R-S. Shana Lammers, definitely a talent. Good kickboxer, can sell herself. They did a little video on her, but she's just not good enough to beat the elite. But she is serviceable, and she will give her all and put up great effort against international competition. So I'd like to see it. Leticia Bakisa, L-A-E-T-I-T-I-A, B-A-K-K-I-S-A. She's a French fighter. I've seen her fight before in the past. I think her pacing's a little bit slower, but I do think that she can land effective strikes here and there. Just the consistency of it's going to be the separation between her being elite and her just being okay. And right now I feel like she's a serviceable name who I could see being used on international cards, but nothing crazy. Martina Jindrova is still someone that you should pay attention to. She's still got good right hand. She's fought elite girls. She's lost to them. You know, she lost to both Antonina and Valentina Shevchenko. She's lost to Jirina Barz just recently, but Martina, M-A-R-T-I-N-A-J-I-N-D-R-O-V-A, Jindrova, is a talented girl that you definitely want to pay attention to in terms of you could see her name pop up down the road on some of these fight cards. Like, it just don't be surprised by it. She's someone to pay attention to, and she's going to get some wins out there. But she's fought on, you know, Thailand. She's fought in Thailand, fights in Russia. She's someone that's going to be a name that you hear quite a bit. Another name, and this is an interesting one, Rashida Bouhout, R-A-C-H-I-T-A. I am going to butcher her last name. I believe it's B-O-U-H-U-T. But she is the Infusion champion. She's got a win over Vicky Church, and she just sits there. She hasn't fought in a while. So hopefully she's still active. We'll see what happens from her moving forward. A talent, she's not like explosive athlete. She just hasn't competed in a while. I don't know if she's still doing it, but I definitely would like to see her, you know, as another name that could possibly be brought out to fight, for a Lion Fight and so on. Sheena Windeshoven is, I believe she just fought and lost to, if I remember correctly, Anka van Gestel in December, I believe that was. But she won a title for them at a bigger weight class and then I think cut down to fight Anka van Gestel. Van Gestel, I'm going to talk about in a little bit, but Sheena, S-H-E-E-N-A-W-I-D-D-E-R-S-H-O-V-A-N, I believe that's it, A-N or O-N, but Sheena Windeshoven is a good kickboxer who's got some of the most interesting strike flows that you'll ever see. Like, I watched her throw out like a double left hook and follow it with a left switch kick. Like, she plays with her striking flow a little bit differently. But when she got into her combination flow, I really enjoyed her style of offense. Like, it's sometimes with women fighting, they can get aggressive and they can get into the clinch a lot and they can kill the fight a little bit. When they get that separation, they could score really, really well. Not all, but a lot of them can. And she is a good example of one of the women who can score well in space. She doesn't get rushed in. She doesn't feel overpressured. She's not worried about exchanges. She can score in space really well. On top of that, Anka van Gestel, A-N-K-E-V-A-N-G-E-R-G-E-S-T-A-L, G-E-S-T-A-L. She is a German fighter who's been fighting a lot. Like she's been fighting. She's still really young. I want to say she's like 22 years old. 22, maybe 23. But she's fought and lost to Valentina Shevchenko several times because they're both at 60 kgs and the IFMA. So she's ran into her. Plus, she fought her in kickboxing here in the States, in my state of all states, in Houston last year for the Legacy Kickboxing brand. But she's still a talent. She can land distant strikes. She's got one of the best knee games in kickboxing in terms of her timing for using the step-up knees. Her fight with Yona Wyman's one of the best fights you'll ever see. Very, very entertaining. Struggles with strength, and she struggles with girls who are good moving and skilled in a different way. Like, they really are if they've got good hands, if they've got if they can play a fast combination game, she'll be caught. And if they can beat her clinch, she'll usually have some trouble. But she's still a talent. She's a person that I expect to be used on kickboxing cards from quite some time. And she's already living her dream as an international fighter. She gets to fight in states, gets to go to Thailand. She's going all over the place. Anka Van Gastel, definitely one to pay attention to. We're kind of getting towards the end of it. A couple other notables. Anastasia Yankova, I mentioned her before. A-N-A-S-T-A-S-I-A-Y-A-N-K-O-V-A. She is notable because she just signed to the Bellator product, and Bellator, of course, is allowing her to both fight MMA as a young prospect and this is huge, letting her fight Muay Thai. So that's the reason why she was interested in it. Plus, Bellator's moving their brand out to Europe. I believe she's going to have her debut for the promotion on the Italy card. Very, very talented girl. But I do feel like she has dry spots. There are opportunities where I think she could be more active with her hands. I think that sometimes she doesn't allow herself to be as offensively aggressive as she should be. But she's still a talent. And she's pretty. You know, like that's, I mean, I bring it up because it's going to matter. You know, Anastasia, Tiffany, Mon, Lim Soo-jung, Rena, those girls, I mean, Christina Jurjevic, I'm not trying to, like, be, you know, a man or a disrespectful man. I'm just trying to say this is the nature of it is if you're pretty, it helps. And she is a talent, and I do think she'll get some opportunities. Plus, she'll get exposure and give exposure to the sport if she goes out and wins an MMA and Bellator, and then she fights kickboxing like a month or two later. That's all good for the sport. More eyes on the game. So, a couple other names to wrap it up. Mariana Kalergi. Mariana from Greece is a super attractive. She's a gorgeous woman, and she is. I've known about her for a long time too. I did a write up when I was writing for World Muay Thai magazine, and I was trying to find somebody good from like all over the world in different countries. Irina Bars, I had her in it before she was what she is now, which is, I mean, it freaks me out, makes me feel super old. I think that was 2009, 2010 that I wrote that. But I did a story on Irina Bars. Miriam Nakamoto was in there, and Mariana Kalergi was in there. So Mariana is, she's got really like big black hair, like long black hair, and she's got this good style towards combinations, body kicks, but her step up knees are absolutely vicious. So if you, I mean, go ahead and look her up on YouTube, Mariana Kalergi, and you'll see she's very physically attractive. But the biggest thing about her offensive skill set is, man, like her, she did some, her, watch her fight from, a couple of fights from Thailand, just as mean as they get. And again, she's like 16, 17 years old in those videos that they have. Now, she's older, she's fighting, it's a little bit tougher because she said she doesn't get as many opportunities, she's been dealing with injuries, but she did win a title just last year, and it showed some of her grit because she went down early in the fight, and then she got up, she won the kickboxing, landing big long right hands, step up knees. She just got into her boxing flow later in the fight. And sometimes that's how it is. And the way that Jemima Betrayan went down to Wang Qihan early, she had to figure out, okay, the next part of the fight is, how do I come back when things didn't go my way? Mariana Kalergi had that happen to her. And she posted it. She posted a picture of her on Instagram of her being on the mat, saying that I had to get up from this. That's what the sport's about. That's what growing as an athlete and as a combat sport figure is. So definitely shout out to her. I believe I'm going to wrap this segment up with her. So I hope those names help you guys to get a better understanding of who I'm talking about in women's Muay Thai and kickboxing. Now, I know there are other names out there, and I apologize if I miss some of them, but I do want to bring up the most notable ones, and maybe for Liver Kick, I'll do like a pound-for-pound women's thing and send it to him and see if he wants to use it on a regular basis. But those are the names that I'd say that you guys should most pay attention to. I believe I got the majority of the world. I believe I spelled out everyone's name hopefully correctly so that you guys can follow them. Gonna go ahead and wrap up with just a couple of thoughts. The Lion Fight card that took place just the other, about a week ago, it had some interesting results on it. Fabio Pingo versus Charlie Peters. One, it's a good opportunity for Charlie Peters to test himself because I do think that the English do the best job of putting themselves out there. It also showed that Fabio Pinca is really freaking good when he's going against guys who aren't elite ties. And he's good against elite ties. I mean, even though I disagreed with the decision, he's got a win over Sanchez, who he of course is like way bigger than. But Fabio Pinca, one thing that I think the guys from Nasser K don't get enough credit for is their ability to box. And I think that we kind of get into this habit of they've got the aggression, they've got the clinch, and they've got some different style guys. So I wouldn't say all their guys are great at boxing. But, man, Fabio Pinca, his hand flow, when he got it going, his low kick flow, he's kind of turned into a guy who's got this style that can be a kickboxing Muay Thai kind of hybrid, like right in between there. He'll still throw the elbows, he'll still throw knees in a clinch, still go for his dumps. But he gets space, combinations and kicks, really has that flow. And I thought they did a great job dominating the fight with Charlie Peters. Peters was game. Peters just kept getting up because Pinca dropped him in the fourth, dropped him in the second, I want to say. Peters just kept fighting. And Peters, he came from the Double K gym, got him a good opportunity. I'm glad that he went out there and tested himself in this way. Shout out to Charlie Peters. Came up short. Back to the drawing board. You got to keep working. Keep taking fights. But it's good to challenge yourself in this way. I've said it forever that I know that there are fighters in England that are Liam Harrison's weight, but I think that everybody's like, well, Liam's fighting elite ties, let's just leave him alone. At some period of time, you got to do what Boba Saka did with Fabio Pinca. You got to challenge the best guy in your country and see where you stand. Charlie Peters did a great job of saying, you know what, Fabio Pinca is one of the best guys in the world, one of the best guys in Europe. I will go fight him for the title on their promotion. And it worked out well for him to get the opportunity, despite the fact that the fight was one-sidedly in favor of Fabio Pinca, who's just a great talent. Women's fight, I mentioned before, Tiffany Von Soos coming off a win over Ashley Nichols. Tiffany Von Soos, the KO pop wasn't there as much as it was before in the past, but the speed was still there for the most part. Combination flow was still there for the most part. Again, body's a little bit different. Thighs and butt a little bit smaller for her frame. I think she's getting ready for the 115, so that'd be the most significant thing because she's known for having those big legs for the low kick. But she still scored well. Ashley Nichols was able to bite down, find some right hands and spots, but it's really tough to score consistently against Tiffany Von Soos. So shout out to Ashley Nichols for game effort, and shout out to Tiffany Von Soos. They made this for a title. I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of that because it's like I almost feel like they made up the weight class and made a title for her just to keep Tiffany a title, just to keep her maybe interested in re-signing. I'm hoping that's not what happened, but moving forward, there are a lot of girls to bring in at this weight class. So if Tiffany's going to stay small, she can keep fighting Muay Thai. She can continue to carve out a legacy that can make her one of the greats of all time. She's already on that way. If I had a Hall of Fame for Muay Thai, I would say Tiffany's resume in itself as it stands right now would get her in. But I think that she can continue to build on that because there's so many elite girls around 54 kgs when you get between 115 pounds and 119 pounds. The big controversy for this card, of course, is the fight between Krumpet, Petropat, and Gaston Bolanos. Gaston Bolanos, of course, is one of the young stars from CSA Gym. He's a guy that they've been pushing, promoting for a while. He goes against Krumpet, who's got like 100-some fights, but, you know, not an elite tie. Just a guy who's got a lot of fights and a lot of experience. I thought that it was a decision for Gaston Bolanos when I watched it. When they went for a Krumpet by split decision, and one of the scores was 49-46 in favor of him. You know, I mean, I didn't see that, but I guess what I'm probably trying to think is they scored the body kicks the highest because Krumpet, I mean, sometimes whenever I see these bad decisions, the first thing I do is I try to say, okay, what could they have possibly been seeing? It's so easy for me to be like, wrong decision. So try to see it because really, that's the first thought I had. I was like, well, you know, I don't agree with that at all. Gaston Bolanos won what I thought was a pretty clear victory. I didn't think that this one was up for debate. But I'm guessing that when Krumpet, like, scored those body kicks, they made such an echo and such a powerful sound in some of the moments in the clinch. I thought that that was going to be a... I could see how that could factor on the scorecards because, again, you want to score the most significant strike. But I just thought that it was a win for Gaston Bolanos. Now the follow-up to it is always a little bit weird. They decided that after, you know, weeks of protest and so on or whatever, that they were going to change the decision. So now Gaston Bolanos is now the winner of that fight. The reason why that's always weird, because one, it's always weird, and the way that was weird with Ioana Wymans when her decision was overturned a few days later and given to Denise Akilholtz, it's just weird when that happens. It's almost better if it's like it was a no contest instead of switching the decision. Because it just, I guess I've never ever felt good about changing the winner. Moving it to no contest is one thing, and I've been there. I've had with Johnny Hendricks, I've had some decisions that we were like, we won clearly, they go to the cards, didn't happen, you know. And it sucks. There's nothing you can do about it, whatever. But it does make people look at our commission and makes people look at our sport differently when we do those things. So I would almost prefer them do a rematch, because this is our sport. We can do rematches. We don't need to have zeros for the rest of our career. But it did kind of have a weird feeling when that came about. So, but I do think, if you're asking me what happened, I thought Gaston Bolanos won. I was surprised by the decision. But the overturning, it's always going to be weird. It's because it doesn't happen in boxing. It doesn't happen in MMA. That is something that is exclusive to kickboxing and Muay Thai. We will change the decision a few days later. And it's happened from sometimes hometown guys and sometimes away guys. You know, Remy Bonjasky, I thought did win. And I thought he did win in an effort because the crowd was against him when he lost to Jerome LeBanner, or when he fought Jerome LeBanner in Holland. And I thought that he'd won that decision. And then they, you know, kind of made their case and they argued. Instead of making a no contest, they switched the win from Remy to Jerome. And Remy didn't complain or do anything. He just fought him again and he stopped Jerome the next time they fought. And I think that that mentality was really, really good by him. But I also have got no problem with a coach being like, hey, my athlete won, this happened, this was bogus, and then having them, you know, do something different with money and that kind of deal, whatever. But it's always going to be weird when it happens. I'm never going to be like, oh, justice was done. I'm always going to be like, man, that's so exclusive to just us and kickboxing and Muay Thai. So Georgia Petrosian got a win and Kun Loon over Jay Fukai. It's just Georgia Petrosian, I saw a joke by Ryan Scalia saying that he could probably beat Fukai with no arms. He's just far superior there. Feng Bian continues his winning ways. He gets a extra round victory over Cedric Duombe. Big time win there, because Feng has also got a win by KO last year, if I'm remembering correctly, over Simon Marcus. So he's starting to make some waves, starting to become the next elite Chinese fighter, which you knew was going to happen eventually. You knew it was going to happen. They got too much of a talent pool to draw from. So definitely there, good there. And then I mentioned that, do a couple other ones. Andre Kulubin got a victory. Kuai Zhuang Lang got a win over Nathan Robinson. Kuai is a guy they've used quite regularly out there. So don't want to start name dropping, but those are a couple of notables. And then they have also had another event. It's so tough to keep up with Kun Loon because they're a TV show and they do stuff all the time. But Sinichai won a middleweight tournament, beating Enrico Gogakia in the final. Wen Qihan, as I mentioned before, she got a second round stoppage victory over Mauricia Perez. I'm telling you, Wen Qihan can crack. And Anatoly Moiseev gets a victory over Jhené Risco. You guys know how to feel about Anatoly Moiseev. He's a super talent to be paying attention to in the future. And that tournament, Enrico Gogia, he beat Victor Nagby in the first round of that tournament. And Sinichai beat Superbon. And then, of course, we've got Zaba Askarov also getting a KO victory over Apricha Minioathin. So, going to go ahead and wrap the show up there. Went a little bit longer because I've been gone. And I wanted to get that women's breakdown in. So, thank you for everybody for your patience. Thank you for following kickboxing. I'm going to be better about the show this year. I want to have more interviews. I want to do more things to fill the gap, to kind of give people the story of kickboxing. And then, of course, I went with a longer kickfighting, 2015 kickfighting year. I'm going to release that on Monday. So the year in kickboxing highlight that I do every year. You guys are wondering where it was. I spent some time on it. It's going to be longer this year because I play with narratives and stories a little bit more. But I really think you guys will enjoy it. Thank you all for listening, and I look forward to talking to you down the road. God bless and peace.